Good morning. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank each one of you for coming. I welcome you all here. May we be encouraged this morning as we have fellowship together with fellow believers as we worship the Lord and partake of the bread and the wine. May we be strengthened by our Lord as we focus on what God has done for us, and as we look forward to his coming again. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that was paid. We thank you for Jesus' shed blood, that we may have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, as we look into your word here this morning, as we worship you, Father, as we come under your teaching, Father, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would give us strength, your Spirit would bind us. And Lord, may you bless this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. For an opening this morning, my opening meditation, I want to focus on 1 Peter 1, verse 2, basically where I left off last time I was here. Peter is writing to people that are fleeing for their lives. They are being persecuted. Many were killed for their faith, and all because they were being anchored to the one true God. And I find these words very comforting, that Peter left for those who left everything and had to flee. And Peter is reminding them that God has not forgotten them. And he tells them, if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter 1, I'll read verses 1 to 3 and just focus on the last part of verse 2. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living or lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." May God bless the reading of his word. Now, these are very encouraging verses for those Christians who were fleeing, and for us today. And the Apostle Peter, he tells them that you are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, which we covered last time. And you know that many turn to promises of God when trials and tribulations come. And I often wonder if Romans 8, 38 and 39 was on their mind. It says, or starting at verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What beautiful verses those are. But as I look into my text this morning here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Do you know that God's love is relentless? His love is persistent. His love is pursuing. We all know the familiar verse that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all come to repentance. God's love is pursuing. As we read here in my text, it says here, through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification means to separate. It also means to repurpose you and I. It takes you out of this world environment and places us in a new environment. It means to take out of and place into, to go from one state into a different state. Sanctification is the work of God to take us out of this world and place us back into as a different person, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Nobody is going to heaven without the sanctification of the Spirit. When we talk about sanctification, it is important to note that there are three stages: positional sanctification, progressive, and eternal. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, it talks about positional sanctification, what you were and what you are now as a result of being born again. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, when we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And now you are positionally sanctified. And there is also progressive sanctification. Really, it is becoming in practice what we already are in position. Sanctification moves us toward righteousness. The book of James speaks of that. In James 1:22, he says that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Holy Spirit moves us to become more and more like Christ. Many times, God does that through life's difficulties. It is the sanctifying work of God. And it says in verse 2 of my text here that God chose us before the foundation of the world. And God sanctifies. The Spirit of God is always working in the believer. We need to obey and let God's Spirit do the work in us, in and through us. And we still have our sinful nature. And therefore, as the Apostle Paul says it well in Philippians 2, we need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for, but work out. Romans 6 says, 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the Apostle Paul also says in Romans chapter 12, and this is all part of progressive sanctification. We need to do our part. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12, 1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is why it's so important that we need to be in God's word daily. We need to meditate. We need to pray. We need to renew our mind in God's word and his promises. That's why also the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 that we need to think on these things. We need to do our part. Think on things that are pure, that are lovely, that are right, that are holy, that are just. going back to my text in verse 2, it says, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We know as Christians, the blood of Christ redeems us. As Ephesians 1:7 says, that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is all the work of God, the work of Jesus, the work of Holy Spirit in the believer. When you say yes to Jesus, he comes in and he goes to work. Some important verses. You turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, starting at verse 5. Jesus says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, or it is to your advantage, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. It was so crucial that, and so important that Jesus left this earth so that he could send the Holy Spirit, which indwells in every believer. Also in John 14, 15 to 18. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus speaking here. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. God has given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And you and I need to cooperate by yielding to the work of God. We are not to resist the Holy Spirit. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. God's Spirit is working all the time, and we are to do our part. We are to obey. I'm sure we have prayed this prayer many times. Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to be obedient to you. It is the Spirit working in you to help you. As the psalmist says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We think of progressive sanctification, that is for a lifetime until we die. And 2 Corinthians says it well. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 to 16. speaking of the outward man is perishing, and the inward man is being renewed day by day. How beautiful is that? We see that all around us. The outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. God's Spirit constantly working. And James chapter 1 also says that count it all joy when you fall into various trials. They are there for a purpose. God's Spirit working in you to conform you to the image of His Son. And Jude chapter 1, a familiar benediction that we so often use, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. It is God's Spirit who works in you. If we go back to my text in verse 2, we also see that God's love is secure. And it's important to note that you can see the Trinity in this verse, in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Trinity is all at work in your life to bring about salvation. We see all three here, and yet we worship the one true God. It's amazing. Unto obedience. We have been elected for obedience. The word obedience here means to listen with the intent to do. In Acts 6, verse 7, here we see that the priests, they listened with the intent to do. I don't know if it is possible to be a true Christian and to disobey God constantly. People can say they are Christians, but if there's no heart for obedience, your confession is not true. Many people are very spiritual but leave Jesus out of the picture. And as I shared earlier, Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I cannot keep the commands on my own, but with the Holy Spirit working in me, I can. God blesses obedience. The greatest evidence of faith in God is obedience to God. In 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, Samuel is rebuking Saul, telling him God doesn't just want our words, but rather come before Him broken and confess our sins. And Samuel goes on to say that obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want you just to come in and out of church. God wants you to be transformed. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Apostle Paul says that the love of Christ constraineth us or compels us. There's an obligation to God that comes out of us in love. We also see in my text here, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a Jewish statement taken out of the Old Testament. We have not only been chosen to obedience, but unto the sprinkling of the blood, referring to the ministry of the priesthood in the Old Testament. What that means is simply this: without the sprinkling of the blood, there was no acceptance and there was no approaching God. Peter draws from his Jewish heritage and brings that in. In Exodus chapter 29, the Bible tells us on the day that Aaron and his sons were consecrated, they were sprinkled on with blood by Moses. God said, sprinkle the priests with blood. In Exodus 24, God made His covenant with the nation of Israel, and the priests, they would sprinkle the people with the blood. Leviticus 14 says that on the day that a leper is cleansed of his leprosy, he is to be sprinkled with blood. Why does all this matter? I see the Old Testament and the New Testament answering each other. In John chapter 19, on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible says that he purchased our salvation with his own blood. Jesus became as if he were our priest on that day. And Colossians 2 says, when we put our trust in Christ, then he cleanses us from all our sins by his blood. Jesus' blood doesn't heal you of sin. It cleanses us from all our sin. It immediately takes us to remembrance that we have a priesthood in heaven. We have a high priest in heaven, which is Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. Few more verses in Hebrews chapter 9. When Moses had, chapter 9, verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Jesus was a better sacrifice, as Hebrews 9:11 says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What beautiful verses, what Jesus Christ has done for us. If we turn back to 1 Peter close this text with a few more points out of here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I first want to just look at the word multiplied. Here we see an expanding love. Multiplied is the Greek word plethora, which means to be increasing by many, ever increasing, layer upon layer, to be the fullest in measurement. Whatever God is telling you, it is multiplied, stacked upon another, this grace and peace. Isn't that a beautiful word? And he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace is divine favor, divine gifting, unmerited favor by God. And peace, to place comfort upon. Peace that exists that is given, peace that comforts your hearts and minds, the peace of God. And those who don't know Christ don't have peace with God. Those who've accepted Christ have peace with God, and they also have the peace of God. As it says here, God's grace and peace are constantly multiplied. What an amazing God that we serve. When I think of the early church, they gathered often, and they had a personal consideration for what our Lord has done. In Acts 2:46, it says that they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The early church, they celebrated communion often. And this is why we are gathered here this morning, to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. The Bible says, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. What Jesus did for them was on their minds a lot. It says, in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus. We need to speak up about who Jesus is, what he's done for us. We need to obey God rather than man. I love how Acts 5 says it in 40 and 42, the apostles, they were persecuted for their faith. And it says, when they left council, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for Christ's name. And in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. This is a wonderful picture of how the church should be today. Preaching Jesus, studying the word, having fellowship with other believers, praying together and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Remembering what Jesus has done for us. We are commanded to do that. We are forgetful people. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me.
Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so
you.
I want to thank each one of you for coming and a wonderful time of fellowship and worship. And I thank my Lord and Savior. Before I bow for the benediction, just two quick announcements. There's a second communion service in Greenthal tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And also one prayer request, pray for Henry Friesen, who is in the hospital in RUH, and understand he has fluid around his lungs. So keep him in your prayers. In closing, I would ask those of you that are able, can we all stand and say the Lord's Prayer together? Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God's peace, protection go with you. You're dismissed.